Let's go in our Bibles to Psalm 22. We're going to read verses 12 through 18, but there's the possibility, I don't know how this is going to go. There's the possibility we're only going to cover verse 12 and verse 13. And this could be just a mess. I'm looking at my notes, and my notes are kind of, I've got a lot of notes, but they're a mess, so this might be a mess. But we'll hear the word of the Lord tonight. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. And let me just say that he said my tongue sticks. I don't know if you've ever had your tongue so dry it seems like it's going to stick to the top of your mouth. And if you'll remember, Jesus on the cross said, I thirst. And so this is not in my notes to mention it, but I would think that that would definitely be a fulfillment of this. But he says, my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. And they have pierced my hands and my feet. And that is very, 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 you know, crucifixion language, very, very descriptive. They've pierced my hands and my feet. He says, I count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. And then another verse 18. And if I remember right, don't hold me to this, but I believe, and I'm pretty sure, that verse 18 is mentioned in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now, this was a Psalm of David, but we realize that David's not the fulfillment of this Psalm, that Christ is. And so let's pray tonight. God, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful for your word, and we pray that it would enter into our hearts, not just our minds, but in our hearts, Lord, and strengthen us, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, verse number 12 and verse 13 is where we're going to focus on tonight. And I referenced Psalm 12 and 13, Psalm 22, about 2 years ago, preaching, I believe, through the book of Luke, when we got to the crucifixion. And but I just barely touched on it and had to go on. And so I want to talk about verses 12 and 13. And this, some of you will maybe start remembering this. And again, it's a little different. But I think that you're going to see the biblical backing of this. In verse 12, he says, many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. Bashan was a region that was the northern part of the Promised Land. Bashan, and this is not difficult to find. If you start looking at Bible dictionaries, it becomes very easy to find this. Bashan was a region that had been known for idolatry, for pagan lifestyle, and Bashan was Also a region that was inhabited by giants. Goliath was not the only giant. And Bashan was inhabited by giants. And you know all the controversy of where did the giants come from. And that's another thing we could get back into. I've come across stuff now that has kind of messed me up on what I thought I had on that. But we won't get into that tonight. But there was a king by the name of Og, I believe, from that region. And the scripture even talks about how long his bed was, because he was a big, tall, he was a giant. He was one of, in the Old Testament, we call them giants. Sometimes they're referred to as Nephilim, or other times Rephaim. But Bashan was believed, and I don't want to turn this into the Twilight Zone here tonight. Okay? But the ancient pagans, and again, you can find this in Udal, and it's in a lot of, this is, what I'm fixing to give you is very well documented. I'm not just reaching out here and grabbing some weird off-the-wall deal. Bashan was believed by the ancient pagans to be the gateway into the underworld, meaning that those that had passed on and had died, that in Bashan you could access dead family members and dead kings that had died. And they called Bashan, it was called figuratively the gates. It was called, and this is odd, but the gates of hell. And that, and hell meaning not as in burning fire, Gehenna, hell as in Hades, which was the underworld, if you will. Okay, Hades. And you know, in the New Testament, there's sometimes when they use the word hell in the New Testament, the word is Gehenna, which means flame and fire. Other times it was Hades, which just meant the underworld. And that was Bashan. And here you've got David writing prophetically about a future Messiah that was going to be hanging on the cross, and he was going to be surrounded by his enemies, if you will, the Pharisees, the priests, and people that were mocking him. And that was all that could be seen with the naked eye. But, and this is where it turns into the Twilight Zone here a little bit. David wrote, "Strong bulls of Bashan surround me." And some have just said that that's a pejorative, that that's just an insult. Oh, they're just a bunch of stupid cows. But it's more threatening than that. It's more menacing than that. And again, I'm going to bring some verses out here. And I don't know if you remember this from a couple years ago. What I'm going to be presenting to you tonight was that had you been standing at the foot of the cross, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, and the third Mary that I can't remember which one she was, but there were three Marys at the bottom of the cross, that with your naked eye you would have just seen the Pharisees, the priests, you know, a Roman soldier, and other mockers. But if you would have had spiritual eyes, you would have seen the spiritual enemies, spiritual adversaries. And I have good reason to say that they really thought they won. They really thought they won. They were not counting on a resurrection in 3 days. They thought they won. And when David said, "Many strong bulls of Bashan surround me," remember, Bashan was the land of the gates of hell. It was the land where you could enter into the underworld. It was also the land of the Baal cult. the origin of the Baal cult. You know how they worshiped Baal or Baal? And guess what? Guess who their mascot was? A bull. A bull. See how that, and that comes from Bashan. And if you look at a different psalm, Psalm 68. Bill, if you can go to Psalm 68, verses 15 and 16. I want you to notice how Bashan hates Mount Zion. Here, okay? It says, O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount that God desired for his abode? In other words, what the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 68 is saying, Bashan, why are you looking with hatred at Mount Zion, at the Temple Mount? Why are you so jealous? And when you look, think about it, Bashan was a region, but the peak, the very top of the region of Bashan, it was mountainous, would be Mount Hermon. And Hermon had three peaks. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but if you will read through this verse here, it says, O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, many peak mountain, why do you look with hatred? Why do you hate Mount Zion? Well, Mount Hermon was over 9,000 feet of elevation. Mount Zion, where the Temple Mount, would be like a hill in comparison. So here is this tall and lofty mountain. And I don't think that mountain had feelings. I mean, it was just rocks. What the psalmist is singing to is that region, the mindset, and that they felt that they were stronger and that they were better. In fact, one commentary that I read, it says, in comparison with these, Mount Zion was the merest hill. Yet Zion was their baleful envy. And it was just kind of a paradox that God delights in the choice. Well, like, you know how it says in Psalms, it says that, or not Psalms, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, God chose the weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose the low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to things that are. So in other words, God doesn't always choose the biggest and the tallest and the most powerful. And so here is the psalmist in Psalm 68 saying, why are you so jealous? And then if you go on, and I know we're studying Psalm 22 and not Psalm 68, but if you go on and look at Psalm 68, and this is where it starts getting interesting, at least to me. The psalmist in Psalm 68 says, listen, the Lord is going to come and he's going to reclaim you. He's going to conquer you. And he's going to make you, Mount Hermon, you, Bashan, his domain and his territory. So imagine any kind of demonic spirits, that just the feeling that they would have. And I'm sorry if this is like the Twilight Zone, but if you'll look at verse 18 out of Psalm 68, it says this, speaking of the Lord, you ascended on high, leading a host of, and he's talking about going to Mount Hermon. He's talking about Bashan. This is verse 18. We were reading verses 15 and 16. This is only just a couple verses down from what we just got done reading. And it says, you ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious. that the Lord God may dwell there. In other words, it was speaking prophetically, saying there's going to come a day that God is going to conquer whatever dark forces were in that region, and that that will be claimed by him as well. The thing that is very interesting about this is, read through this again with me. Am I losing everybody, or are you guys? He says, "You ascended on high, leading a host of captives." Does this look familiar to anybody? Where did this show up at? The Apostle Paul quoted Psalm 68 in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read it here. In fact, you can go ahead and go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Before I read chapter 4, you get this idea. Whoa, very sorry. You get this idea that he, you say, well, yeah, you know, in the end, when he comes back, he's going to claim all things. He's going to, you know, all of that. If you read the context of what Paul is saying, as far as reclaiming Bashan and all of that, we're not talking some end time event. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That look at this. It says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high and led a host of captives, see how it's quoting Psalm 68, in saying he ascended, what does it mean that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? So you see, Paul was saying that this conquest to regain Bashan, to lay hold on Mount Hermon, to defeat the enemy forces that held that territory. Yeah, I know this sounds like the Twilight Zone, but that all of that happened at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The victory that he won. And here's where I'm going to step even further into the Twilight Zone. I wish I could make my voice sound like that guy that used to, imagine this. Imagine this. You are on a lonely road late at night. And like that guy that used to talk on the, I wish I could get my voice to sound like that. But remember I told you that Bashan was up at the northern part of the Promised Land? I forgot my map. I could almost walk around and show you guys my map. I have a map that I was going to attach to my email, and I forgot to do that. I don't know if you guys could see this, but all of this area here is Bashan, and this is Mount Hermon. And notice, what's that little town right there?
Caesarea Philippi.
Caesarea Philippi. Brian, you see that? This is not a very professional way to do this. But this is Mount Hermon, this is Bashan, and this is Caesarea Philippi. So now, are you ready to go even further down this road? When it came time for Jesus to visit Jerusalem for the final time, he was going to be crucified. He was going to be buried. He was going to rise again on the third day. When that event was close, it says that in Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, now when Jesus came into the district of what? Caesarea Philippi. And that's, you read the name of that town. Sister Kristen, Caesarea Philippi sits at the very base of Mount Hermon. This is what for centuries had been referred to as the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell. Okay? It had been referred to, that region, as the gates of hell, the underworld, where, you know, and all of that. Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And you guys could probably quote this as good as me. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock," at the very base of Mount Hermon. And I've always believed this meant something else, but I'm going to say the door is at least open for me to think about this now. He says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it." Jesus was standing at the base of Mount Hermon when he made that statement. If ever there was a challenge to the devil, if ever there was a challenge, you know, throwing down the gauntlet and say, "Okay, let the games begin. Let's see who the Almighty really is." Here's Jesus at the very base. In fact, let me, I was so afraid that you guys wouldn't believe this that I even got some commentaries here. And these aren't wild commentaries. This is just the ESV Study Bible notes. Here's what it says. It says, church tradition identifies this as Mount Tabor, which is 12 miles away. But most scholars favor Mount Hermon outside of Galilee, rising 9,166 feet. That's the ESV Study Bible. Faith Life Bible Study Notes says this: there is no indication that Jesus and his disciples had moved away from Caesarea Philippi, located at the base of Mount Hermon. Let me read you another one. This is Faith Life Study Bible Notes. Details in the narrative seem to fit better with Mount Hermon, located on the northern edge of Bashan, a region associated in Jesus' day with demonic activity. Remember how Jesus would cast out devils and all of that. And it says, a region associated in Jesus' day with demonic activity. And the thing that is interesting to me is then, if you look at, and oh, I might not have got this in my notes. If I didn't, oh, I'm in all kinds of trouble. Everybody, Bill, you're not going to have this verse. Everybody turn your Bibles to Matthew 16. And I've got to turn there too, because I didn't get this. So if we go to Matthew 16. Very sorry. Matthew 16. we read the part to where where Jesus, you know, where Peter says, you know, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona." We read that, but then go to the very beginning of chapter 17. Very beginning of chapter 17 says, and I would have one of you read this, but for the benefit of those online, I've got the microphone, so let me read it. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white, and behold, there appeared with them Moses and Elijah talking with him. This is the transfiguration. Almost every Bible commentary out there that comments on it says that it's almost a sure thing that Jesus Christ probably took Peter, James, and John, where they before were in Caesarea Philippi, they were at the base of Mount Hermon. the gates of hell. He took them up to the very top of Mount Hermon, and that's where he was transfigured. So you talk about going onto the enemy's turf and again throwing down the gauntlet and saying, this is, here I am. You know, you wanted it, come and get it. And I don't know, to me it's very interesting how this seemingly fits together. And I had never realized, folks, that when Jesus says, who, you know, when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he said, you know, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hasn't showed you this, but my Father which is in heaven, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I always considered it to be the rock of revelation of who Jesus is. But I will admit it's awfully interesting and compelling to realize that he was at the base of Mount Hermon, and it had been called for centuries, been called the gates of hell. And now here is Jesus saying, I'm going to build a church and the gates of hell. In other words, Bashan and Mount Hermon and all of the wicked, evil, sinister forces are not going to withstand the church that I am going to build. And to me, it's very interesting that Psalm 68 does say, did prophesy that he would, we read it earlier, that he would go and he would claim Bashan as his territory. And that he would claim it. And that then the Apostle Paul quoted that in Ephesians 4 and plainly stated, yeah, the fulfillment of that was the happened in the resurrection. So I'm just saying that I think that at the cross on Golgotha, at Calvary, Golgotha, whatever you want to call it, I think there was more going on than meets the eye. And David, and I think that's why David in this psalm said the bulls of Bashan were there. There were unclean spirits and forces that were there to witness the death of Jesus Christ, and they really thought that they had won. They really thought they won. And anyway, I'm not going to go on to the other verses. This is where I will stop. I told you we might just do two verses tonight. And I know, I don't mean to be wild and way out there. I don't mean to, I will be very honest with you. I get up in the morning and I put on my pants one leg at a time. I'm not a conspiratorialist. I'm one of the few people that actually believes that Lee Harvey Oswald shot John F. Kennedy. You know, I mean, that shows you how anti-conspiratorial I am. But I will have to say some of this is a bit, it's, when I say it's compelling, it's something that I am just going to have to give, it's worthy of consideration, let's just put it that way. It's something that it's worthy to open up and just talk about it on a Wednesday night. In fact, before we're dismissed here, is there anybody that's got any thoughts or questions about this? If you don't, that's fine. But
well, it's just new information. It's just, you know, it's
yeah. It's just very different. It's very, very different. And I enjoy digging in the scriptures and looking at this stuff. And I will admit that it, the way it all works out with Bashan, the bulls of Bashan, and Jesus being at Bashan, and then using the phrase the gates of hell, and all, it just seems like it almost fits together. But yes, Sister Krista.
Well, I was, you know, when you were talking about the gates of hell, and one of the things that comes to my mind whenever I think of that phrase is when he dies, he goes down into hell. And he frees the captives there. Mm-hmm. And he takes the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And then when you mentioned that how Paul said this was fulfilled in his resurrection, I just kind of brought all that together.
Yeah, it almost seems like it fits,
you know,
yeah.
Because it kind of mimics that if he's standing on the mountain that says the gates of hell shall not prevail, you know, this is the rock, but then he goes down into hell and frees the captives, and then he resurrects.
Yes. It almost seems like I said, it almost seems like it fits. You know, it's almost like, oh no, this messes up my theology somewhat. Let's not live, you know, but I'm all right having my theology get messed up if that means that I can get a clearer picture of what really went on. And just closing out here, Carl, what's that verse that I wanted?
1 Corinthians 2:6.
Okay. You ask the question and you say, well, how could they be so stupid? And how could they be so, how could they fall for it? Because by killing Jesus, that was exactly what needed to happen. For the whole when they killed Jesus, that basically sealed their fate. That was what needed to happen. And it was almost as though Jesus was purposely, this is what I heard one guy say. Here's what one author said. He said, it's almost as though Jesus went up to Bashan just to get the ball rolling. Just to get them to where they're gonna, okay, let's kill him. Let's kill him. It's like, let's get this thing going. And you say, how could they be so stupid? But then, in 1 Corinthians, it says this. Yet among the mature we impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age or rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. In other words, we impart wisdom, but not their wisdom. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. A hidden wisdom. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And when you see the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we covered the book of Isaiah, we talked, there was some death, crucifixion, language there in Isaiah, and there was also some resurrection language. And it's so clear to us now, but it wasn't clear back then. It was concealed and it was hidden. And you say, why? Because if they would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They would have never done it. But that, and Paul is telling the church in Corinth, this is the hidden wisdom. This was the hidden wisdom that we are imparting unto you now, that if the rulers of this age had ever known, they would have never in a million years crucified the Lord of glory. So, very good. And that's all I have for tonight, unless anybody's got any other parting remarks. Okay, well, this stuff is very interesting to me. Very interesting to me. And it's something, like I said, it's worthy of consideration. But let's all stand. Amen. Let's